Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Maureen Holleran, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, Dr. Michelle A. Payton will talk about birth mix patterns. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host. Steve, how are you tonight?
Very well, thank you, Maureen. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you so much.
Good.
Could you tell us, or could you tell the world about what you do?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. I combine both of those tools to provide either evidence of the afterlife to people or insight into how they function, their characters, the past, the future, etc. I'm also interested very much in using astrology to unravel world events.
And you're very good at a lot of this, all this stuff you said. Thank you, Steve. Hi, Carmen. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm feeling much better. I'm just slightly congested, but overall, much, much better. Thank you.
Yeah, you missed our show last week. We missed you.
I did. Thank you for giving me the week off.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do that. But you're welcome. Anyway, Carmen, can you talk about or tell us all about what you do?
Well, I'm a psychic empath, and so I'm a commercial telepath. And so that would mean that basically I'm best in intentions. I like to work with psychology, but I also work with my cards, and I work with hundreds of cards per reading. Yeah.
Okay. So that's commercial real estate.
Yeah, this is my new term. I don't know. Commercial telepathy sounds pretty slick.
I like that. It's kind of cute. You. Yeah. Thank you very much, Carmen. And Stephen, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Mari. Thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you so much. And can you tell everybody in the world what you do?
Oh, sure. I'm a tarot card reader, and I practice medieval astrology with an emphasis on prediction. And I counsel a lot of clients on relationship issues, career issues, and also spiritual development at PsychicAccess.com with you guys.
Thank you, Stephen, and you're just a joy.
Thank you.
And Walking Encyclopedia as well.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You thank yourself. Anyway, I'd also like just to mention that we really apologize for the guests not being here with us last week. And so, but we do have a complete interview that we have worked into the archives. Thank you, Stephen, for doing that, and Doug. So please check out the archives to listen to the interview with Peter Woodbury on Edgar Cayce's legacy, I believe was the name. And I know you all enjoy that. Okay, so I wanted to... So tonight, Dr. Payton, an author of 7 books, she is a member of the National Board of Professional and Ethical Standards. She has fulfilled mastery requirements for the Society of Neuro-Linguistic Programming and is an active member and founder of the Asheville Area Holistic and Integrative Professionals. Good evening, Dr. Payton. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's a little cold, but I'm sitting warm in my office, so.
That's right. I'm in California. I know everybody on the show is on the East Coast, except Carmen's in Canada, but it's freezing over there, too. I'm so lucky. That's right. You guys are hit with some weather issues.
Yeah, well, everywhere.
Yeah, except California. It's so warm. Not that I'm rubbing it in or anything. I'm not really. I love the cold winters. Anyway, as I go to the beach every day. So, So Dr. Payton, can you tell us about who you are? What you do?
Sure. What I do is mind over matter solutions, and that is done through using hypnosis, neurolinguistic programming, emotional freedom technique, acupressure hypnosis. And I also look at something called birth mix patterns, which is the subject for tonight. And that includes astrology, numerology, and birth order. So I use that to get to know my clients and people in general more quickly so that we can do our additional work. That's how I started. I started with birth mix patterns. And then people said, well, what do I do now? You know, what is it that I do now that I know all these things about myself? And then I started down the path of studying intensely more mind over matter concepts.
You know, I love the birth mix pattern. I found you, actually. I run into, it's like synchronicity. I just was looking around Amazon, cruising around, like walking the path of the books. And I just found your book by accident. And I thought, wow, that's great, because I come from a very large family. And I always, and I remember my sister, she's a psychologist, and years and years ago, I don't know when this was, in the 70s or something, she was talking about something to do with our birth order. I never heard many years of anything about it. There was something she brought up. I don't know. And so when I came across your book, I was like, wow, that's interesting. It made sense to me, because there are certain orders of people at birth that, I mean, I'm sure you found out. And also, I love how you put people also were more enthusiastic about getting involved in astrology and numerology, because it was kind of fun. It was safe.
People have a preconceived, some people are attracted to astrology, some to numerology. The birth order piece I found, it's actually my first breakthrough, because I'm an adult child of an alcoholic. So that was in the 70s and 80s, all the rage. And I remember reading an adult children of alcoholics book, and it was talking about birth order, and I just couldn't believe it. How they pegged me. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. But then friends in the mind of, you know, the mind, body, spirit, they'd talk about astrology and people's signs. And I thought, well, I should study that so I can kind of fit in. But I realized when I saw numerology, wow, that's interesting. And then because I studied all three, I realized that you could take some of the top end pieces, like numerology with life path, or some people call it the destiny number, astrology, sun sign, and the birth order, and get a real quick fix for basic personalities in the workforce, your families, and kind of look at it depending on what your where you're preconceived with, but it kind of gives you a really good start.
You know, I wonder if maybe that's right. Actually, and I'm thinking about, you talk about the adult children of alcoholic. I was real involved with that. Probably that's where I heard about the birth order thing. Maybe it was Claudia Black. You know, she wrote a lot of books about adult children. Well, you just brought something up. I just remembered thinking about.
Yeah,
that's right. Probably that's exactly where I heard about it too. You know, so what order are you in your family?
Well, I'll explain the process to you for birth order so that folks can follow along, because a lot of times people think that they know what their birth order is, and they're not right now, if they're listening, they're saying, what? I know what my birth order is. They could be right. So I'll explain my family makeup, and then I'll explain what the birth order is. Would you like me to do that?
How that works? Lovely. Thank you.
Sure. So I have three people in my family. I have a brother that's 7 years older than I am, and I have a sister that's 3 years younger than I am. What does that mean? It means, because there are three of us, that I have an only child brother in family unit A, because we have 5 years or more difference between us. So he had to learn how to play on his own and do alone time things, because there was too much of a change in age after 5 years old to say that he would be the firstborn. Now you go to family unit B, there are two of us, and there are two girls. I am 2.5 years older than my sister, so I am firstborn in family unit B. So I take on the firstborn role, and my sister takes on the youngest, so she takes on youngest traits. So it's really interesting. So you have a family of three, you have an only child, a firstborn, and a youngest. But let me give some examples. So if there's a 5-year difference above and below, and of course if you're the only, period, then you're considered an only child from a personality trait. If you have a family of 6, and usually it's broken up in groups of 4, so you have a family unit of 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, family unit A, 1, 2, family unit B. And that family unit B, that number 5 child, would be firstborn of family unit B. So it depends also on gender. So if I have a firstborn boy at the top of that pyramid of 6, and then a firstborn girl right under, if there's a 2 years, less than 5 years, then it's a firstborn boy, firstborn girl. If you have twins, the twins look at themselves as their own unit. And then they definitely know, those who, whatever twins are listening to this program know, yeah, those seconds count. They will claim their firstbornness. I came out first. And they would become their own family unit, and then that next family unit, say C or B, would come after them if they were born, depending on the years and the genders. If you have one child that has to be just a gorgeous child and extremely talented, and another one that's kind of shy, they can switch birth orders, where that child that's extremely outgoing and, you know, gorgeous and all these sort of things, extremely athletic, could take on the traits of firstborn and leader, and then that other child can change in personality to a youngest, less leader-like child. Make sense?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. What about if somebody had a family or they didn't know about, there was, you know, another children in the family, like the father had other children from...
That's a good question. So if you are in a... if you're 7 and under, but usually more 4 and under, and so if you're born into the family and you're interacting with those other siblings when you're between 1 and 4 years old, you take on a birth mix like we just talked about. If they come in later, it's a separate kind of deal, because you've already developed your relationships and most of your personality as a child has developed. Will things change? Sure, but your identity from that perspective when you're younger is still a part of you. It's still what forms you as a child. Make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense to me. So it is kind of interesting now. It's a little bit it's fascinating to me because you're talking about the switching of roles, and that does happen when, well, because I come from a big family, that I'm using my family as a good example, that there was like people that will leave the house or leave the role, and another mm-hmm. kid would step into that role, is what you're saying?
It depends on the age, but yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Someone could definitely step into the role, for instance, a youngest child has a tendency to have a little bit more of a sense of humor. Doesn't mean the oldest doesn't have a sense of humor. Doesn't mean the only child doesn't have a sense of humor. But the youngest child would have a tendency to prefer small groups. Smaller groups would like to get people to smile or feel comfortable, but more on a one-to-one, face-to-face type of kind of concept. So while they might switch roles because of siblings leaving, they'll still have certain core things that they adopted because they were living in a particular order for that certain amount of time through childhood.
Okay, I understand that part. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So now can you continue on?
What kind of so we have the firstborn, and that firstborn I would call the leader. And then the middle child, real interesting thing about middle children, a lot of people think that they're middle children, but then when we just add that mix of if there's a boy and a girl and then a girl after that and there's three, say there's a girl, then there's a boy, then there's a girl, and there's only 2 years apart between those three. There will still be a firstborn boy, firstborn girl, and youngest. Now, if that youngest is born 5 years later after the second child, that child takes on only child traits because there's too much difference between them. So the middle child, sometimes the middle child doesn't even exist when you have three kids in the family. And that would be surprising to someone that might, a lot of times I get, if I'm with someone one-to-one, they go, aha, that makes sense. What happens is it's genderized as well. And also if you have, a child in a wheelchair or certain challenges, but that was first born, that second born would, go up top and take on more responsibilities. It would be more leadership roles and would be considered from that perspective a first born. Middle child will be, if you have three girls and they're 2 years apart, then you've got that middle child. You have three boys and they're 2 years apart, 3 years apart, then there's a middle child, number two. So that's pretty straightforward.
I understand. Makes I understand sense? What you're saying, because they're all the same gender.
Yeah. The middle child is going to be your negotiator. Now, interesting about middle child, a middle child is either a negotiator or a real heck raiser. And usually there's a little bit of both. It changes depending on the age. But there's still a negotiation type of element, even if that middle child is a tough one. The middle child will still see the value of the idea of negotiation. So that only child is going to, as I'd mentioned, that only child is a little more independent. The only child will also be the first one. If you're sitting in a restaurant and you have an only child, anyone that's listening, if that only child sees another child sitting at a table, he or she will get up and go over and grab that child and say, play with me. figure out how to create their community.
I like that. Yeah, about only children being so self, I have one girl. I mean, I only have one child, but only have, that's enough. But they're always talking about, and they have issues with sharing or whatever, but well, I don't think so.
Only children, because they have to create their own community. See, when you have a family that's built in, that's your community. An only child has to create his or her own community. So many of them just aren't shy. They'll just go over and grab another child and say, play with me.
That's really cool. I love that. So do you look at their sun signs too?
Yes. So then the astrology sun sign, it's what people see, in the newspaper, what your astrology, your horoscope is for the day, but that's your sun sign. So what happens is I will look at the sun sign in combination with the birth order, in combination then with the life path number, and a couple of other numbers as well. You'll let me know what you want to know from there. But so if I see a firstborn who's also a Leo, well, that's going to say to me, this is going to be someone who wants to lead, who wants to come out in front. But the Leo traits also are building community, having a pride, a layer of people that they feel like they can know, like, and trust. And Leos have a tendency to be very generous. So they lead through generosity and community building, for instance. So I contrast and combine those to get a real quick feel for where people are coming from.
Are you a Leo?
I am a Leo.
So am I.
And when we get into numerology, I'll tell you my numbers as well, to talk about how they build up that pyramid of astrology, numerology, and birth order. But yes, I am a Leo.
Well, I like that because I'm a Leo, so this is great.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
we find each other.
Yeah, I think so. As a community, yeah, we do. We lead with generosity and pride.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Absolutely. Probably sometimes over generous. And and that's something that the Leo has to work on. Some people think that Leos are ego, but that could be part of it, depending on what age you are and other things, other elements. The other part is the generosity is pretty high, to the point where we have to watch drinks for everybody, you know. And like, I know. You know, my husband would say, stop it.
Well, Leos are very generous people.
So
you get you use the sun sign. That's a very easy way to go, but I mean, anybody can figure that out.
Exactly. That's super cinchy. And then you have the numerology, and something that I look at, which is our most important number in our chart for numerology, is called life path number. From my perspective, in my three books, that's what I call it, life path number. And there are other people that might call it something else, which is fine. Destiny number is another time. Sometimes you hear it called that as well. But what that is you add your day of birth, month of birth, and year of birth all together, and it creates, you either get a 1 through 9, 11, 22, or 33. And if I know that, I will do my best to slow down, and I have to do that consciously when I start to rattle things off. I do have under education, under michellepayton.com, all of this information so that you can calculate your astrology, numerology, and birth order. So know that you will have an option to go look at something, and it won't cost you anything. But so you add that together, and that's there. But you add those numbers together, and so you'll get a number one, which is a leader, or a number three, which is an expert, what I call an expert communicator, or a number five, which is that master multitasker, the person that always has six or seven balls in the air, and somehow is able to make it all work out. You have the sevens that are more detailed, more Virgo-like for those that are following astrology. Yeah, you know, so those are the sorts of things. So then I start to put those elements together to say, how can we get a quick idea of what those easiest pieces of numerology, the easiest piece of astrology, and then birth order, which is easy to explain, and it's explained on education as well, so that people can look that up.
Well, it sounds like fun to do that.
it's a lot of fun, and when I wrote my first in the series, the first manual in the series, the book, I gave them to insurance companies, dental offices, that sort of thing, people that I knew, and said, "Hey, pass this around," because I wanted to take the woo-woo mysticism thing out of it and create a little fun around it, so people would get to know, like, and trust each other a little bit more. You know, just kind of say, look, this is who you are. I respect that. Now I know, and I will address you in a certain way so that I give you what you need as a communicator. People would call me and say, hey, we lost the book. Can we get another one? After about a half a dozen calls, I finally said, okay, people must like this book. But it made it, and people have fun with it. But the idea is also to know that everyone can understand where someone is coming from. It doesn't mean you have to like them, but it does mean that it's possible.
Yeah, and actually, then you could trade roles. You could trade roles. Barter them off. But I do notice people do have role changes going on when if there's an age difference, especially.
Yeah.
And then it's so they can be out of they can be tormented individuals too with using do you find and the main thing I love about what you put together, like you said, it's really a comfortable thing for people to get together and do, and I think it's great that you have this on your website. It's on your website, right? Yeah.
It is. It's at michellepayton.com under, and you just hit education, and it'll say calculate something like, I don't know, calculate your astrology, numerology, birth order, and that's, and you can click on that, and it'll be there. Yeah, real easy to follow.
So then, so when you have this information and you could get calculations, so how would you fuse it together, I guess. What is the best word of saying that?
Yeah, I'll use myself as an example, but if you also want me to use another example, I'll do that too, just so that you can, you know, we can use another example. So I am a Leo, a firstborn girl, and my brother is 7 years older than I am, so I'm firstborn girl in family unit B. If my brother was a girl, I would still be firstborn girl in family unit B because of the age difference. So just to use that as an example. So I'm firstborn girl Leo, and I'm also a life path 6. Now, I will also mention at this point that there is our day of birth, and mine is 1/5. 1/5 equals 6. So I have a 6 day, and I have a life path 6. And what do you think that means? It accelerates my sixness. And 6 is the responsible one server. And remember when I mentioned to you that Leo is a community type of sun sign?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
6 is also a community-centered life path number, or number in general. Family, community, inner circle, caring, making sure that everyone's taken care of. Double that, plus Leo and firstborn girl. What if I saw myself on paper, what I would say is this person has a potential to be an enabler, overdoing things for people. And until I figured that out over time, everyone else can buy their own drinks, right?
Yeah.
you know, that's, I mean, it's okay. I don't have to take care of everyone in the room. Once I figured that out, then I was more comfortable, more peaceful. But knowing that about yourself helps you look at it too. And if you look at that in a friend, a family, a lover, a life partner, a workmate, you can help draw attention to it too, saying, no, don't overserve me. I'm okay. So you as a friend or coworker can also bring that to fruition. I have had people ask me to look at a coworker circle and, hey, you know, I'm the new manager, this manager left, here's the information on them. What should I expect? How should I be working with these people? And how do they feel about me coming in and that other manager leaving? And I can give a general, I can write a basic story about what possible expectations to have. It doesn't mean that everything is spot on because people change, right? You know, for me, I'm definitely a community server, value community very much, but I also learned that no is a complete sentence. And that took me about 40 years.
I can relate to that. No, it's a very hard word for me to use. No. It like hurts to say no.
Yeah. But when I hit 50, all of a sudden, no, period, made a lot more sense to me.
Yeah, I can relate to what you're saying. Absolutely. For those people that don't know how to say the word, I know, it's very difficult. And it's funny. I can identify with that. So,
well, yeah, of course, because you have this show and you're serving a community.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense.
Yeah. And, you know, but it is funny. I mean, I'm not kidding you. Say, I had to learn how to, the word no, it was terrifying to say no. People, somebody saying the word no, I mean, it doesn't matter. I was like in my 30s or 40s, or whatever I am now, 50s, 60s, no,
yeah.
Not 60s yet. Yeah. But yeah, so, and interestingly enough, like people in families, well, you know, I find it so fascinating. I never thought about how you're bringing up and picking the birth order. And it makes sense to me now. I always thought, okay, in my head, because there's 6 kids, you know, 1, 2, 3, and I'm like the oldest of the second group. And uh-huh. It's to say, actually, it's interesting because this is exactly the same way you didn't know this, so it's almost like the exact way you're looking at it, because I always look at myself as the oldest of the second group of kids that
Absolutely.
Were born, because there's such a, they're there like 1, 2, 3 very quickly, you know, next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's myself, 5 years difference. And then there's we're very close in age, the three youngest. Like, we're, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. So you had family unit A, B, the top three.
Yeah.
And then you had that five-year difference, which then puts you at the family unit B. Absolutely. It makes complete sense.
Yeah, it does. And I loved it. I never thought about that until you just explained. I'm like, oh, ha-ha. Aha. There you
are. That makes sense.
It does.
It doesn't mean you don't talk to your other siblings. It doesn't mean that you don't like them or don't like them or do like them. It has nothing to do with it because you're all siblings. It just means that that's how the family kind of ran day to day.
Mm-hmm. And the chaos, too. The chaos, too. In actuality, because, well, and it's everybody listening, it really makes sense because there's three boys and three girls complete in the children. And so I'm the second girl, but I'm the oldest of the group B, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
So I would like
Absolutely.
That idea. But also you're the black sheep.
Now, Leo, you can take your place on the throne.
Where I belong. What about black sheep?
That's right.
What about some people that are I don't like using this word, but here it goes. Black sheep of the family or the underdog. Does that even play part in any of the wording of this? You know?
I'm not sure if you could be more specific,
How about the one that, you know, like you said, stirs things, well, you didn't say the word stirring things up, but I guess I'm using the terminology, stirs things up, or perhaps feels like they're misunderstood because they're actually the most, listen to what I'm saying, the most honest person in the family, or the family dynamics, you know, the one that will feel isolated or not like the group or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are, you know, there's so many different reasons that could evolve from that. If you have six, you know, for instance, if there are five children and say they're all five, you know, mom and dad were just got busy and every 2 years, you know, the five kids just boom, 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 10 years later. That number five child that's a tough role for number five because you've got the first four kids in the peer group. Unless there were four girls and one boy, you know what I'm saying? Where the boy is the fifth born, then the boy has the firstborn identity or opposite, four boys and one girl, and the girl is the firstborn girl, so she's got her identity. But if you have, you know, just boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, you know, and it's just boom, 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 and then you've got number five, that could create this feeling of I don't belong. That number five position, unless it's gender, or there's a larger amount of time in between, and that child takes on only, that number five can be a type of, you know, the you've heard the term fifth wheel.
Yeah.
And so that you know, there are scenarios like that. Because this is what the trends have shown that they kind of runs in four. If it's if boom 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 boom, you know, mom and dad were just let's get it done, you know.
Right. I think my parents are like, but you know, actually everybody. Yeah, my parent. Actually, there is a they took 5 years. They well whatever. Because boom, 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 first three, and then me. I was the only planned one.
Yeah.
I was the only planned one. And, you know, and that's another. But the thing of it is, I noticed the role changing lots in my family for reasons. Well, I don't know. But you also.
Well, what happens is then, what happens is once you leave the nest, then some. You'll still have certain properties that you grew up with, but there'll be there's some numbers in astrology sun signs that are more conducive to pulling family back into the fold, wanting to get to know someone better. You know, well, we didn't really have a chance to get to know each other when we were kids, and I would really like to get to know you now. You seem really neat. You know, so those sorts of conversations, you know, happen as well. Yeah. Again, you all still talk. I've had people say, I still talk to my brother. You know, I talk to my brothers and sisters up in the top family AA or family or the other way family. And of course you do. But it's just the way the roles kind of play out. There's some type of innate thing that it's like twins, you know, or triplets or whatever the lits are. If they have lots of at the same time, which all these that strange thing going on with multiples going on being born at the same time is they know what their order is, and by golly, they're going to claim it. It's like a flag, it's a stake.
That's so true. We're going to take a short commercial break, Michelle, and we'll be right back. We're going to just take a 1 minute commercial break, and we'll be back in a moment from psychicx.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, we're back with Dr. Michelle Payton. And Michelle, we're talking about... Oh, okay, so we left off... This is fascinating me. We left off... I guess I better bring us back to what we do. We found out the numerology. So how can we help communicate better with, let's say... Well, how about if we look at the order of, like, there's four of us co-hosts on this show. How would you look into something like that in your work or something with... You know, being able to relate.
Yeah. Well, you know, the what I would be looking at is I wouldn't look at it exclusively. I would really want to see the astrology, numerology, and birth order numbers so that I could contrast them, and I create a little grid then, and I put Maureen, Stephen, Carmen, Steve, and of course Duncan. Gotta have him in there as well, and you know to say, okay, what would be the way that each person would prefer to work, and how would they communicate with one another? For instance, a life path three would be, hey, yeah, interrupt me anytime, you know, jump in, don't worry about it, let's keep talking, you know, it's like the view, you know, keep going, interrupt me. But if it's more like Seven or Virgo kind of thing, very, okay, you talk, then I talk. Then you talk and I talk. So you have to know how each person wants to interact, and then basically you please each other.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
When it all comes down to it, you just... I like that. You just please. That's a good one. That's funny. Why can't we? You know, people say, why can't we all just get along? Why can't we just all please each other?
Well, and you know, for instance, when I was working in a group situation, and the treasurer was a life past seven, so Virgo-y, seven-y, that's more measurable, very linear. So if I would say, what do we have in our bank account? I'm more top line kind of gal. So if he would respond $100.33. Oh wait, no, wait a minute. No, we just got the report. $100.36. if I were to answer that and he were the guy asking the question, Michelle, how much money do we have in the bank? I'd say, I don't know. Last time I looked, it was between 90 and 100.
Yeah.
But that work, but if my audience, if the people that are asking that question, they want to answer this, well, no, tell me exactly. Someone shouldn't take that as, oh, you're badgering me. They should say, well, I'm filling that person's need because that person needs to the penny, because that's that person's personality.
Right.
So when we know that, we get along.
We don't get offended. I get that.
Right, we don't get offended. Yeah. Now, there's another number that I don't have in my books, but I do have under education, that I've been using a lot with clients over the past year, because when I see people, they're generally not there because they just want to sit back and kick back and say, I don't have any issues. I'm just here to stay howdy. You know, usually they want to solve a problem. So there's a number called the balance number. And what you do is you look at your birth certificate. This is also under education, so you're A-OK. You'll get this information when I'm done. You take your original birth certificate letters, the first letter of each name, and it's assigned a letter. And then you know what your balance number is from that, meaning that when you're under a stressful situation, this is how to best handle things for yourself so that you feel comfortable. So, if Duncan, Stephen, Carmen, Steve, whoever wants to give me three letters, or if you have five letters, I can calculate that for you really quickly and tell you, for instance, what your balance number is.
Well, I'll give you mine.
Of course.
Can't we just all get along with Maureen?
No. What is it? What are the letters?
My
first
name,
letter of
M-A-U-R. M-A-U-R. Yes.
So you have four names on your birth certificate?
No, I'm sorry. You need the first letter.
The first letter of each name. Mine is Michelle Ann Payton, so it would be M-A-P.
Okay, M-L-H.
M-L-H. So I have this grid under education. So you all, anyone listening, you can do this on your own. It's really easy stuff. So your M is a 4, your L is a 3, and your H is an 8. And again, this is all up. You're A-OK on being able to get to that information easily. And that equals a 15. When you add 15, so 8 plus 4 plus 3 equals 15, and 1 plus 5 equals 6, and voila, your balance number is a 6. So, of course, I'm not surprised you and I have that in common as well, but the 6 I've mentioned is a responsible one server. Those personality traits, that number and equivalent astrology, are what I analyzed all the first ladies and the presidents and first ladies of the United States before Obama. I published that book prior to Obama. And that personality trait, that responsible one server, that's the strongest trait for U.S. presidents and first ladies.
Oh, wow.
And isn't that interesting? But that says a lot by understanding that. You want to be, we'll call it a civil servant, for the lack of a better word. And over-serving is something that one would have to watch out, especially since you're a Leo.
Right. That makes sense.
You had Leo? Yeah. See, but how you find your balance number, what does that mean, balance? When you're in a stressful situation, you don't feel like both feet are on the ground. This is when you treat people like they're family. You talk to people like they're a part of your inner circle. And that if you were to do it another way, become impersonal, become very not first person, but more remote addressing, it would not be part of the way you would balance yourself, because you're too personal of a person. It wouldn't feel like in balance. You would be remote from that person. You would be dissociated from that person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. In fact, I think I love this. This is very interesting. You know, one of the co-hosts, Steve, he asked me to ask you what his was. He said,
"Okay, go ahead."
If
so
you don't
F?
Want, it's S as in Sam, F as in Frank.
And that's it?
Yeah, that's what he says.
S and F, no middle name?
I guess he doesn't have a middle name. He's from England, maybe.
He doesn't have a middle name. Yeah, okay. That was English. So S is 1, and F is 6. So that's a 7. Now Steve would be kind of like your polar opposite, meaning that he would need facts. He won't want research to find a balance. It doesn't mean he wants it all the time, but from this perspective, if his feet aren't both on the ground, if he's standing on one foot and he's trying to find balance, he would need a little bit more data to get to the truth. Data could mean a lot of things, but there would be a research element that would be, when he's in a stressful, uncomfortable situation, he would need more measurable information to feel grounded and okay. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes unbelievably. Unbelievably. I mean, it's unbelievable. Absolutely. Yeah, he was just writing something. He says, no data, no conversation. He would be just like. He is like
no
that.
No data, no conversation. Yeah, again, you all can find that very easily. It's under education. Now the explanation, of course, I have a basic line item that tells you a basic idea. Of course, more explanation you would have to speak a little bit further.
Your book would have all that information, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
The book?
Yes.
Birth makes patterns, right? And
there are three of them in the series.
You have 7 books out, don't you?
I do. I have in the series of 3 for birth mix patterns. One is the general idea of birth mix patterns, and I analyzed all the presidents and first ladies and put like famous people under each number and astrology sun sign and birth order, that sort of thing. Then I have one for love relationships, how to use this information to understand love relationships and how to work that. And then one I have for groups. So how do you analyze groups? Like how would I analyze Maureen, Stephen, Carmen, and Steve and Duncan all in one group to understand that? And I give a process for that. So that's that other book.
So there's, okay,
yes,
so there's
I have
3
7 books.
3 books for this, what we're talking about. Okay.
Yes,
I'm sorry,
ma'am.
Go on. Mm-hmm. And what are your other books? You have other books?
I have Healing What's Real. Mm-hmm. Which talks about hypnosis, NLP, EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, and Mind Over Matter Solutions. So how do you use that? I have Solutions, S-O-U-L-Lutions, that is along that same vein, more of a workbook kind of thing. And then I have Adventures of a Mainstream Metaphysical Mom series. There are 2 in that series, and those are basically autobiographical. Mom coming out of the closet.
That sounds interesting.
Living in the mainstream and trying not to embarrass my 3 kids.
Did you have them really close together in birth
I had, well, no, my I had my first 2, a firstborn girl, firstborn boy. They were 3 years apart. Then I had my only child who's 8 years difference.
Oh, okay.
And you know, no matter what, I mean, come out of the closet with my Mind Over Matter things. I definitely embarrass the daylights out of my kids when they're walking around in Main Street. So it's doomed.
I know, I've been embarrassing my child forever, but you know what, it's paid off because she has a degree in neuroscience. She's in Thailand living, and so she was real grounded. But she's studying the meditation and the mind together in science. So, you know, there's something obviously right. All that embarrassment paid off.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
she went
so
within.
I've been noticing, like, my brother has children that are 30 years, you know, because he had a second family.
Yeah.
There's 30 years difference. 30 years difference. But now, and they're twins, too. So, actually, I won't see anything. Well, he'll probably, you know, he's, like, really old. Having all these kids that are, you know, he's a grandfather of several children. Whatever. You know these people.
Yeah.
You know these people nowadays. The thing of it is, I guess a lot of things won't matter because those kids, you know, they're close, their 30-something-year-old sister. It's almost like there's night and day. And I'm sure when the kids get older, the twins just turned six. So I guess when they get older, the interaction will be different, of course. And that's when the role changes. It'll be like more like Ma and Pa. They're brother and sister.
You're right though. They it's like they're totally different worlds. it's really remote unless they like live next door and are always interacting. But still, they would still take on a different role with that many years difference. It's just a totally different deal.
That's absurd.
it really is way past the
expiration date.
It's like I don't even know you. Who are you? You know.
I know. Oh my God. So Michelle, can you? Would it? You know, we have about 5 more minutes left, and I wanted to ask you. You know, can you tell us about what you? I mean, anything else like workshops or you're in a private practice and people? You know what?
You can go to michellepayton.com to check out more information, but the an upcoming, if anyone's in, you know, the Asheville area, my next workshop is an emotional freedom technique acupressure hypnosis type of workshop. And but I teach, you know, self hypnosis and, you know, all the things that have to do with my work. So you'll see birth mix patterns workshops and those sorts of things as well. But you can go and again, that education will take you, Michelle Payton in education. You'll see classes and events there too to check that out. I do have a Michelle's Mindful Minute that's free to everybody. You just have to click on there and you'll get a message from me every month. When you get tired of it, you can just stop listening. But but there are literally like 3 years of messages. I'm really long-winded. But it's only a 1 to 2 minutes, so it's only once a month. But that's free. There's a lot of free stuff there. But yeah, I have a private practice here and see clients on the idea of using mind over matter concepts. Astrology, numerology, birth order is a big part of what I begin with, but once we get into session, we use hypnosis and NLP, EFT, acupressure, hypnosis.
You sound fascinated. I'm sure you're wonderful. You're wonderful for your clients, really. And if I was over there, you're long-winded. No, I thought I was, I talk really fast. Well, you'll never know because I didn't over-talk you, but but why can't we all just, what were you saying earlier? I said it, now I forgot. Oh, well, it was my mind.
This is one of the big reasons for astrology, numerology, birth order concept, the birth mix patterns, is just, look, why can't we all get along? or at least, if you don't like someone, at least you know why.
Right.
And you can just steer clear. But so many people take on other people's stuff, and they misinterpret. And if you know that, then it becomes less personal. Then it becomes, well, that's, it's not about me. It's about how this person communicates and what this person prefers. I'm not in their, I'm not in on their list being one of their favorite people. Okay. I know why.
Yeah. No, it's really actually a good way of looking at it. And then that way you don't feel defensive and irritable or whatever. You can understand. Actually, that is a very good way, simple of everybody listening that can look at things. Then you can manage those crazy makers all over the place or manage yourself. But, well, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed having you on here.
Great to meet you.
It was wonderful. And everybody, you know, on your guest page, I haven't sent you the link to that. I'll send you that. On your guest page, which is up forever, we have your also your link to michellepayton.com on there too as well for everybody. So thanks, Michelle, and stay warm.
Yeah, that's the secret to our
success
right now.
I'll be thinking about you at the beach.
Nice to meet you all.
Thanks, Michelle. Good night.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, that was interesting, everybody. And Steve, she had you very much pegged, obviously. That was funny.
Yep.
Okay. Would you say no? Would you say no? No data, no conversation. That's so great. Okay, so I would like to take a moment and talk about this. And it, wait for it, it goes, there's announcements. And if you are interested, please, you can contact Michelle at Michelle Payton, PAYTON.com. Also, her guest page, MichellePayton.com, is on our website. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. You will now, we will, not you will, announce the call-in number later in the show. So be sure to have a pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our last week's show on Edgar Casey's legacy, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on Psychic Access Talk. PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to share the archive links and future show details with your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others, everybody that you know. Please be sure to visit our PsychicBloggers.com to learn about everything from numerology to reincarnation, to the how-tos of psychic development, to everything else under the sun. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Okay, and wait, where was I? Anyway, you can find out more about them from a list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. Also, you'll find a video recording of the psychics, which is a very nice feature. So you can look at them before you want to pick the psychic for your reading. And it is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of us do have an appreciation and respect for one another. All the co-hosts are here on Psychic Access. I mean, all of us on Psychic Access, TalkRadio.com, work at PsychicAccess.com. If you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, please visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. Again, if you'd like our show, please invite your friends, your family, your neighbors, their dogs and cats, and everybody else to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody, and so please spread the word. Okay, I'm going to give you guys a call-in number for the readings, and we do the readings, the phone line will open in around 9:15 p.m. Eastern time, and it will be 6:15 Pacific time, and that number is 724-444-4851. And I am looking, okay, I guess, well, again, you guys, it's the phone number, but the phone line will not be open until 6 p.m. Eastern time. It's 724-444-4851. Okay. It's howdy doody time. It's banter time. Hey, Steve, I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
No data, no conversation. It's
well,
so
I
true.
Just you know, I love most of the energy in my chart is under Aquarius, so I love information. I love to learn. I love to research, seek information, and increase my knowledge. And so, usually, my first reaction to things is to ask for or seek information. And so,
and
that's
so true with you. It absolutely is. And that's what I love about you, though, too, because you're such a nice balance.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, thank yourself. Thank
Unless
yourself.
In some ways.
So you have no middle name, Steve?
No, I don't. Tradition in my family is that the men don't have middle names.
Really? Is that an English thing? Is that an English thing? Or?
No, I don't think so particularly. I think it was my father's idea or eccentricity, or if it's a tradition on his side of the family. My sister doesn't have a middle name either.
Oh, okay. But a lot of times you guys are named Sir and you know, the fourth, the fifth, Lord.
No. You see that, the second, third, fourth, far more of a tradition in the U.S.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I always thought, in my head, but just not facts, of course, just in my head, it's not based on facts. I always thought of the England being the,
well,
I guess, yeah.
The titles, you have the titles like Sir or knighthood.
Lord.
Lord, Earl, Count, things like that. But that's pretty rare, and they're usually inherited.
Yeah.
Type.
And you're right. Yeah, you know, I guess we're trying to always. If it's, I mean, the number first, the second, junior, senior, whatever. It is a U.S. thing. You're right. I'm thinking about that.
Yes, that's very much a U.S. tradition.
Yeah, we're trying to be up there with the royalty. I think that's what we're starting to have our way with the second, the third, Rothschild, the third. Well, you're number one in my book, Steve.
Thank you.
Well, Stephen. Oh, I should. I'm boy, girl. Wait, our roles? Let me see. Carmen.
Hello.
Okay, Stephen got that hello out there faster. So I guess we're going to go to boy, girl. Because Carmen's the oldest now in the group.
I was joking. I was pretending to be Stephen.
Oh, you were? Then Carmen got me. That was really good. Hello.
I was about to say, I didn't have anything to do with that. I was scared.
That was good. Oh, you
good
got me.
Thank you. I do entertainment as well.
Carmen, you're it. That was a good one.
Well, you know, don't get me started on math and patterns. They go on forever and ever and ever. I remember doing like birth mix patterns with prime numbers one day. I also thought of that system a few years back, and it's been very useful. But I think that the thing that, and I really want to thank her for that, and it's amazing that a lot of these things seem to have an innate intelligence. But what I felt was very valuable was definitely the message of understanding why you don't like each other, as opposed to simple, you know, do's and don'ts about not liking each other and our world being so extreme, and it's almost now the worst part of it is that we're not allowed to dislike or like each other. And I think that very subtle interplay, the dramatic, you know, tensions, the interplay between the antagonist, you know, and yourself is probably the most important way to grow. Yet we see that as something wrong and something as a fail. So I thought her point was incredibly poignant and incredibly important.
So intense. No, I say that in all a good way. I don't mean anything odd. You know, I want to ask you, Carmen, what number are you in the family?
You know what? I didn't get there. I believe that I know just basic numerology. I'm a 5 and a 9, and I stopped there. And
I mean, how many children are in your sibling link? Are there?
Oh, I have an older brother, so he's within my circle. And so, but he's significantly older than me, and I think he was just born that way.
Well, so, apparently, I mean, like I have a sister that's 9 years old. But then
I have a 4-year difference, which is very, very comfortable. But you're not still, you could be generation apart in a way.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Like I said, I think all the other kids should not have been there. And only one that should have been in my family. But, you know, I found it interesting she brought up how I never thought about it. But it makes sense because I always said, well, I'm the oldest of the second group. How I always placed myself because of the age difference and how close we are. But I like how she presented it because that makes sense. I would be the first of B. That for, yeah, 1B. 1B, here I am. And I was like, okay, maybe not 1A, but I was just curious. I never asked you how many brothers and sisters you had before. But now we know.
No, I would love to tell you my birth number, but some fancy people would probably deduce my real name, and I'm very cautious about what I share online, but I would say that for the most part, the 5 and the 9 aspect of my birth was very true, and it was equated to somebody, that was just the birth numerology, and it was kind of freaky, and then since then, I've been able to actually work all the patterns from that birth mix kind of formula into almost all life patterns now. And it's a bit of an obsession, and mathematicians, I bless them, but it must be absolute madness to be a mathematician, you know?
Yeah, well.
Because you can analyze that, and then they'll probably go into decimals and things.
Well, this is a basic arithmetic, I'd like to say, like penmanship. This is like basic arithmetic. That's the only way I know how to use basic
I can numbers. Only imagine if one takes this to its maximum, it would be quite interesting. Yeah. If there's any mathematicians out there that feel like parsing the numbers all the way down, that would be an interesting
My mind
project.
Would spin out of hand. Mathematician. Oh, never mind. I know we need them, but they're just... that's too much. I mean,
no, it really is. It's too much of a the reality becomes plastic when you think in those terms. So,
yeah.
Nonetheless, the 5 and a 9 would be probably the aspect that I would say is a challenge. And apparently, Gandhi had the same numerological combination as me, which was conflict through suffering and stuff. Which is actually kind of interesting because I thought that Nietzsche said change through conflict and conflict through change. And I think that my numbers would embody that. And unfortunately, it's a very, very strange way to live. And someone was able to say, like, you can't really reorganize your birth mix patterns, but maybe you can, you know, swap up some of the numerological aspects of your life that will balance it out. And I used to have a friend of mine who used to work with those aspects, and he actually changed his name completely.
Yeah, I've heard about. We've done a show. I've had a great guy about numerology, about how you can change the benefits of changing your name for that to get different numerology, or using your you know your whole middle name or something like that. There's like a vibration in them or something. You know.
But for the life of me, I don't mind my vibration. That's been helpful, and yeah. I think that I would say. That it does embody what I feel, which is to accept that. But I think that for most people, it would be quite difficult to say, this is who I am, and this is who I am. And I think it's actually a very good way of looking at oneself, too. A really simple system of breaking down. I mean, you know, kudos to this writer because she articulated it so well.
Yeah.
Being able to break it down systematically and then to subdivide it into astrological components, it is fascinating.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, Carmen. That was great. You know, Stephen, before I get to you, because I want to hear your voice, as I always do, I wanted to let everybody know that, you know, we apologize, but we had a great show last week anyway, you guys. We really did. But the guest was not able to join us last week, but we do have a complete interview worked into our archives now. Thank you for that, Stephen and Doug. So please check out the archives to listen to our interview with Peter Woodbury that Stephen did last – well, he did – it was a show last week on Casey, the legacy of Edward Casey. I think it's that. Anyway, Stephen, hi.
Hi, Maureen. I
there
enjoyed
you
your
are.
Show tonight.
Great.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Stephen? I'm so quiet.
I'm doing fine. I really, you know, hung on every detail that your guest talked about tonight, especially with the numerology, you know, because I say that that I'm a tarot reader, you know, but when you lift the hood on the tarot, you see that a big part of the engine is actually numerology. And so it becomes important to understand this thing, numerology, why it works, and one of the reasons it does is because it actually has an underlying sort of occult or metaphysical technology underneath of it. And so I think we really need to understand what system of numerology we're using. For example, is it a Kabbalistic system of numerology where, you know, the number 5 means something, you know, different than it might mean in another system? So I think it becomes important then to understand, you know, to ask questions. Why does the number 7 refer back to, you know, this or that astrological influence? Why is the number 6 refer back to Virgo, for instance, and why not some other astrological influence? So it pays to ask those sorts of questions. And different systems of numerology have different associations. And you know what? Quite frankly, considering all the different systems can really help you get a comprehensive understanding of whatever your problem is at the moment.
Yes, I like you said that. So such wonderful, passionate how you talk grammar.
Oh yeah, well,
conviction and passion grammar.
it's one of those things. I think it's really at it's an important point to know if you really have an ambition to understand astrology and tarot and make it work for you in your life. Then, if you have this ambition and are serious about it, then you can't dodge the numerology bullet. You have to study the more foundational more foundational techniques that make tarot work, like numerology. I certainly wouldn't be able to do what I do for psychicaccess.com, you know, without a heavy reliance on numerology.
What order are you in your family?
Oh man, I'm the alpha pup. I'm the first in line. I'm the heir to the kingdom.
You mean you're the A side, number one A?
Number one A. That's what I am. And you know, it really sort of just spills over into everything else that I do in life. I go around life with this really irritating and immature sense of optimism, this just assurance that everything's going to work out. Well, Stephen, you know, our enemies just fired all these intercontinental ballistic missiles at us. Oh no, it's going to be all right. You know, we'll recover. You know, so that probably comes from being first in line, being spoiled, I suppose. I just have this conviction that everything's going to work out okay in the end, no matter what.
Well, that's not a bad thing, Stephen.
No, far from it. Far from it. I mean, it can be, again, it can be a little unrealistic. You know, we need to realize that, you know, sometimes things don't work out the way we want them to if we don't adequately prepare for them. So, you know, that could be a systemic problem among all firstborns, among all alpha pups, that, you know, everything's going to be all right for us, and we let our guards down, perhaps.
Yeah, well, Stephen, you know, last week's show, your guest was just a little late.
yeah, he was a little bit late, but we managed to get him, and it was really well worth the wait for me, because he was a fascinating speaker, good. Harvard-educated psychotherapist, and a very keen observer on the human condition.
Great, I'm looking forward to listening to that interview, as a matter of fact. That was
That
was good work. You guys, you know, integrated
Thanks.
That into the.
Oh yeah, Doug really worked hard to piece that together. You know, because of the technical logistics of the situation, it really presented a huge challenge to get last week's show into the archives for you guys. And really, Doug deserves all of the credit for that, because he put in a lot of hours stitching that bad boy together and making it. And you know, because my recording devices were rather crude, and Doug really. You know, made some lemonade out of lemons on that one.
I can't wait to hear it. I'm sure that it was quite a task, but that's really great. We did a good job, though. We did a good job last week. We did.
You certainly were there to step up to the plate and help me out a lot. And it's always fun talking to you guys as much as I can on the air. So, you know, I don't weep over an excuse to talk to you guys and pick your brains at all.
You don't cry for us, Argentina, Steve.
I don't cry for y'all, Argentina.
Well, you know, I wanted to say that we've come to that part of the show pretty soon here, where we will be taking your calls and your questions. So you can either call in and ask your question, or, you know, if you ask your question, we haven't been doing this, but if there's a chance that we're able to take any chat room, it will be only because we have no calls. But the calls do come first, and just letting you know. But the call-in number, the call-in for your free reading is 724-444-4851. And please be aware that each call will be placed automatically on hold and will be answered in the order received. So just relax and listen to the show while you wait, because you'll be able to hear it. We do ask, please, to be very clear and direct with your question. We can only take one question per person, as this will allow us to take all the calls waiting for a reading. And also, with the time that we have, which is not a lot, we can help you more with one direct question, and that's just the way it goes. So I don't know for a yet. And Stephen, a call from Louisiana for you.
Thank you very much. Hello, Louisiana. Thank you for calling the Psychic Viewpoint. How may I help you?
Hi, good evening. How are you doing today?
Good evening. I'm fine, thank you. Hope you are as well.
I am, thank you. Okay, my question is, do you see a romantic partner coming into my life anytime soon? And if you do, can you tell me anything about it?
Okay.
About
him. Let's see, first of all, if you'll find romance in the next 6 months. Let's just first see if that's going to happen, okay? Is romance coming anytime soon? And you know what? Within the next 6 months, indeed, you will have a romantic opportunity. You will have one. Now, as far as the specific person, I, I'm not picking up on it, you know, like an actual image of the man. I can't tell you what he looks like, but I can tell you that you, what I can tell you for a fact is that you will have an opportunity for romance. You will have a lot of romantic activity within 6 months' time. So that's rather open-ended. What that tells me is that sort of like the energies of love are working on your side, but the specific person, that question is still up in the air. You still have a lot of control over who the actual person is. But the very fact of wanting romance, it means that you're attracting it to you. And indeed, 6 months from now, you're absolutely going to have it. The Ten of Scepters, it tells us that there's going to be a rebirth of enthusiasm. And this is a very positive sign for what you're calling me about. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, that Ten of Scepters right there. First of all, the number 10, it signifies rebirth. And, you know, one of the topics of the tonight show was numerology. Well, the numerology of 10 means rebirth. You know, we've gotten to the end of the numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know what I'm saying? An end of this one. Now we're beginning to start a new one. You see, you're about ready to start from the 1 all over again. And so now this is very good news because we're closing a cycle of loneliness and about to begin a cycle of, again, romantic activity. And from everything I'm seeing here, the exact specific person isn't so much as important as the romantic activity itself. Do you see? So what I judge this telling me is that you're going to be taking fantastic strides toward achieving significant romantic happiness. This is a very, very positive boon for you.
Oh, great.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So within 6 months, you're going to be a very happy camper as far as your love life is concerned, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. And come visit us at psychicaccess.com, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. That was lovely. I have a caller from New Jersey. Hello, New Jersey. I'm fine. How are you? What's your name, please? Hello?
Yes, can you hear me? Simone,
S-I-M-O-N-E. Hi, Lo, and what can I help you with?
If my boyfriend and I will eventually...
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry, I have a cold.
Okay.
If my boyfriend and I will eventually get married.
You want to know when you and your boyfriend will be getting married?
Yes.
Okay. I want to ask you, because I only have a few minutes for this. I want to ask you, do you have a date planned already?
Sort of. October 15th, our anniversary.
So you've talked about having a date already, right? Okay. Well, you know... The thing of it is, it looks, what I'm seeing here is that perhaps in the past that you maybe had that date taken or a prior date taken off the calendar. So
yes.
Is that why you're concerned?
Yes, I am, because there's some finance problems, yes.
Okay. Well, you know, I do feel that it's going to be okay this time around. I mean, I do feel definitely, but, you know, I do see there's certainly still a fear of financial disaster. I mean, I feel that it's a fear. And was it a valid fear? I don't know. I feel that it consumes you and your fiancé. It's not good. My feeling is this, that I definitely feel that the next date that you've picked, it's so October, you said, I feel that that's the date that you should really put out some really good energy towards, regardless of what may be the case with your financial state of mind, because I feel that's the fear that's keeping you too from moving forward with yourselves, and it's a decision I feel that you're going to have to be the strong one to make, and I'm putting this on you just because I am. I just feel that you're the stronger of the two of you.
Yeah.
Maybe you're more enlightened. Okay, I'm going to look at it that way. That I just feel that it's a decision that I feel that you need to make and steer the relationship that direction, because if you by not doing so, I feel it just puts more distance between you and your fiance, and I really, it's a crying shame, because I feel that it doesn't need to be like that. I feel that you're seeing things that haven't. I'm not suggesting that it's not difficult. I get it. But I feel that you could be married and still fearful of your financial state. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and you know, you are really going to be doing, you know, are you a student, or it looks like you're going to, I mean, I see you learning a lot of, like, maybe unconventionally, but there's a lot of knowledge that you're absorbing coming up, and it's in a, you're in a really good position to steer this relationship to that date. And like I said, later on he could be stronger and be the strong one for the relationship. But I feel that with that knowledge that you have now, and I feel that you already have this knowledge, but definitely by you not being the strong force at this time, this relationship will not get it, you know, will not go to that next step, to the marriage ceremony step. And I feel that would be sad. So the way I read is this, you can, you know, you have options and you choose. I would like to, like I said, I feel that if you decide not to reach that, I feel October would be fantastic. But if you let the fear get the best of you and it doesn't happen, it would be very sad, I see.
Okay.
Yes, you could do that, absolutely, where it wouldn't be so overwhelming. Do what was right for you. I do feel that you have a very good, strong friend. I do see a girlfriend around you that's very supportive.
Yes.
That would be, it's very good to have that support right there, because it's just like your state of mind. I know it's easy for me to say, but it's your state of mind, absolutely. You don't have to have a big, stressful thing. Okay? I'd go for it.
Okay.
I hope I helped you, Simone. Thank you so much for calling. Good night. Okay. You know what? I missed on... Oh, Virginia. Steve. Virginia.
Thank you. Thanks, Maureen. Who's calling from Virginia?
Hello?
Hello. Hi. Who's calling?
Hi. My name is Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm well.
Great, Stephanie. How can we help you?
I would like to know if a relationship with a gentleman that I care about, actually we went to high school together, if it's going to progress and go anywhere. It's going really slow right now.
Let me see. You know, I feel not, Stephanie. I feel there's another gentleman for you. I don't feel he's the person that you will be with. And I can see that there's a lot going on in his life right now. There's a lot of change for him. But I don't feel that he's the one you're going to be with. I feel there's another gentleman who is quite creative, artistic. He's got quite a lot of earth in his chart, probably a lot of Taurus in his chart, I would say. I feel that he's darker haired, and I feel that you know of him in about 8 months. But in answer to your question, no, I don't feel that this gentleman from the past is the person you will be involved with romantically.
Okay.
I feel that there's a connection. So, I feel that there's friendship. I don't feel that he is going to disappear from your life. I just don't feel that he's the one that you'll be with. As I said, the gentleman I feel you will be with is as I described to you. Okay?
Awesome. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you, Steve. And Carmen, we have a call for you from Texas.
Hi. Hi. Nice to meet you. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. What's your name?
Siobhan.
Hey, Siobhan. Hi. What can I do for you?
Okay. So I guess my question, I was wondering what you see coming up for me career-wise. and relationship-wise?
Let's try and see what the predominant aspect of your reading comes up with today. You're new, so welcome, by the way. Let me see. Yeah. It says here, you know, you needed to tie up your responsibilities before you left, and that you need to probably firm up or work on sort of the way you finish things. Are you sort of bothered by the way your job ended before, and was it just vague? There is something here as well about a legal issue. I'm not sure that it was just that you're closing and finishing off many threads in your life that have not necessarily been completely cleared. So it says here, then your decision to move forward is met with, and it looks like you're trying to get into an official line of work here, or it's going to be in writing or something, computers or thinking, advertising. You could go on and on. I mean, this is the issue here, though, is sort of like working with two opposing energies. And so as a sense, I would almost see that you'd be very good as a facilitator for communicators, for communication. And so this is possibly a field that I'm seeing you go into, or even a title in your job. And so I'm not sure where that comes up for you. Are you working right now?
I'm actually a musician.
You're part of me?
Multiple things. I'm a musician, actually. I do multiple things. I'm a singer, and right now I'm working in public relations.
That's probably the public relations thing that I'm picking up right now. That you're working in the, like, the marketing side, and it is thought, but it's, unfortunately, it seems to me like a bit of a, you've got here a sort of, the way PR works, obviously, is people marketing against each other. I would love to put it in a better way, but sometimes it isn't. So even if it is to heighten the image. Now, what I feel here is that that is continuing. You're going to continue on in that line of work. So I want to have a look specifically, because I know this is important to you, at your career, like music, and see where that brings you. Yes. Because I saw you working in your other job. You know, so let's see.
That's kind of just a side, kind of like just a side job, just to get by.
Probably that you remain in that for at least the next 6 months. And then there is some kind of, there are a few projects in the works. I would just say that some of them need to have a firmer marketing or firmer foundations, like these are smaller labels, or some of them are not necessarily firmly funded. So it's saying here you're getting a lot of the different branches of work coming out your way, and some of them are smaller projects. But I know that's what it's like for a lot of people right now in the music industry. So I'd say that it's like you're active, you're working, and you're building your resume. And that's over the next 6 months. So I'm going to definitely see if anything comes of that, and then sort of move over into, let's see, if we have a relationship coming up for you. Let's see here. You might actually get something interesting out, yourself, your own song or composition. It seems to me like you may actually travel somewhere. I'm not sure if this is too or far, but so there's some response now. I'm looking for any problems because that's the way I analyze situations. I always look for the problems first. Do you have any kids around you?
No, actually, I don't have any kids. I'm single. See, no kids or anything like that.
I know. So one of the things that comes in here is you're possibly going to be working with children, younger people, and this could be part of your market. And that's sounding like, I know it's probably not what you want, but it's in terms of marketing your music, it actually might be marketable to younger audiences as well. Like, but there's a lot of musicians that do really nice tracks for kids' music that is just audio, like background music, ambient, or you know, some good music for films. So I would say this is an interesting proposition. Look, it's only going to make sense to you in time. And I just want to just say, remember this prediction. And then I want to have a look here and see with the time we have left and see if we can go over to any new cars. But any relationships? Is there anyone special you want to ask about?
There was somebody in the past that I was seeing, so I'm trying to see if that plays into the picture. Actually, this person is kind of tied to my music in some way. And I actually like kids a lot. I like younger children, actually. So I wouldn't be opposed to doing something for, like, younger children or of that type, but I'm really looking to break into the major market.
You either become, like, a functioning working musician, or you really bring in and you carve out a niche and you work in that specific area. And that's very competitive usually. But it does say that you would be successful possibly as a commercial musician. And I know that that's no musician's aspiration, you know, but it's actually as a communication form, you know, probably the ideal use of the communication form. I would also be delighted in doing that. You know, I used to work in animation. So I know that we had a lot of use for talents for really good musical writers. So I would say, yeah, that sounds fun. And I mean, your boyfriend, it just seems to me like he wants to resolve an issue, but work is slow. So things are incomplete, all tied, not tied up. And it says here, he's been spending money, or you've put in a lot of money, and there's a lot of pressure and a lot of financial loss around your relationship. There may be another woman around him, but I'm not sure how committed he is to that. He'd love to talk to you again. And I think that he just does, for some reason, he says he would be a bit bitter or maybe a bit cool. So are you still working together?
I haven't heard from him in a while, but he's kind of tied to my music in a way. He does promotions and concerts and things like that. So he's like a concert promoter. So we had planned some things in the past for like music concerts and stuff like that, like major concerts, like with major artists and stuff like that. But things kind of fell apart. So I was wondering, like, if I'm going to hear from him again, like, if he's going to be coming back into the picture trying to plan that. Because I am.
He's definitely going to try and see you again. I just don't feel he's direct. Is there just a touch of distance, or is he having to be trained to be aloof because of his job? But it says here he's undecided as to how he's going to handle this relationship. And there are some legal strategies and issues involved that keep this relationship with you pretty cordial. Yet, I believe he may kind of come into your way. I don't see any direct contact for a while. And I feel like, to some extent, you know, he may kind of like wave at you or talk to you somewhere. And maybe that's going to be a fairly decent way in. But yeah, he's aloof. And so, were you ever involved?
Say that again?
You were involved, yeah? He's aloof, so he might be needing some clarity on something, you know, proud. Yet he seems to have wanted to help you in your business. And
yes, that's correct.
Yeah, he says here it would be irresponsible to try and resolve an issue right now. He disappointed you greatly. He wants to wait for a better time. Yet he often looks out for you and he thinks kindly of you. It's odd. I think you guys are out of sync. But it said in the first thing in your, and I want to leave you with this thought, both of you worry if this relationship was a mistake. And in a way, it said, well, possibly a mistake or an error was made in it. And both of you are unable to resolve that issue. You know, kind of like stuck in a program. And I think that you both need some clarity and some resolution. So I wish you well, and I really look forward to, you know, you should come and meet me on Psychic Access. I'm Carmen Miro, and I'd be so happy to talk to you and give you a really nice analysis, because if he's a performer or if he's in entertainment. I'd love to keep his identity or your situation fairly private, and I can get you even better stuff. Okay?
So just for clarity, just for what we went over, so basically with that particular person, you kind of feel like there's clarity, like you feel like it could go away, basically. Is that maybe a correct?
And then right now, it's too early on in your future outcome to say he's going to come anytime soon, so then you don't get a full outcome. It might be wiser for you to phone in a couple months when you know he's touring, and then check with me then. That's my real answer to you, okay? I mean it, just because I know I only have a limited vision.
Oh, so
you both
said
seem
that
hurt.
Maybe in a couple
That's
of
what I do
things.
Feel. But he's proud. You know, take care. Come call me. You get 6 minutes, and yeah, I want to give you more, but I'm not able to. I'm going to get somebody else on the phone, so you take good care, right?
Okay, I was kind of having a little bit of trouble hearing you. I don't know if maybe it was my cell phone or not.
Sorry about that. Try and call us. Call us again. You get a free reading. My name's Carmen. Good luck. Right. I think you're going to do okay. Bye.
Thank you, Carmen. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
You can get a free reading with Carmen at psychicaccess.com if you sign up. Free 6-minute reading. And I wanted to ask Steve. Steve, is it next
yes.
week's show? Is it your show next week?
No, it's not.
Whose show's next week? Carmen. Carmen, I'm sorry, it's your show. Of course it is. You just said so, I think. And you're having a really fascinating show next week, aren't you?
I'm most excited to be, I have to study this actually, but I'm researching and I have been very interested in the military capacities or uses of psychics for quite some time. Because I did a lot of research on, I went through a phase of CIA MKUltra research and have been sort of digging through all the UFO people and coming through, and that's one of the things I'm bringing in later in the month. But more than anything, I was very interested in the scientific human uses of psychic work for practical purposes. So we found a remote viewer. Now, if any of you know the Stargate, the Canadians had like a series for a while called the Stargate series. Do any of you guys remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm very, very familiar with the
Stargate. I know, you know, that guy with the painted face thing. It was like, you know, like, yeah. Anyway,
that.
Nothing like that. But no, I know it's just some bad makeup. Anyway, for whatever it was worth, that was a real actual program in the military in the late 70s. And Lynn Buchanan was one of the six, speaking of six, persons that actually trained others and with and started up this military research facility. And he was also actually one of your classic original coders and programmers. So my hat's up to that guy. He's probably hardcore good at what he does. And he's right now writing a book on psychic ethics. So you know what they did with these people is they were able to – they never really had to take an opinion, I think, in what they did. They figured out a scientific formula or a research formula and a way of verifying it through his computer programming of slight differences in answer variations that would indicate changes in location or strategy for a target, you know? So I'm just fascinated.
That's fascinating.
So Lynn Buchanan, yeah, remote viewers.
Yeah. You know, I took a course in remote viewing for years.
Oh,
I
yes.
was certified, as a matter of fact. That was a long time ago. But I'm just very familiar with the Stargate program, which they no longer, of course, they don't have. But this is going to be a very good show. Very good show.
Well, you know, I have so much respect for him. And one of the things we were discussing was, you know, consciousness, artificial intelligence consciousness. And if only we have enough time to maybe go into that, what he was discussing was quite phenomenal. And so all the applications now, I know that not just the U.S. military was doing this. I know that the Russian military was doing this as well a little bit earlier. So it seems like that has been of interest to some in a strategic way. Now, of course, these people were actually vetted CIA operatives, agents.
You know, I know that the Russia, actually, we stole it from Russia. They were doing this long ago.
They were doing telepathic operatives.
Yeah, they were doing operatives. All sorts. Yeah.
That's correct.
And then we jumped on top of that bandwagon because, as we do. Well, I'm just saying what I know. I'm not saying that's going on at all in other areas.
Well, it's possible that was shared via the Second World War because there was an interest and resurgence in the Second World War. But I imagine that's closer to mysticism. But then it may have gone into Russia because, remember, they were bringing all that in.
Yeah, but
UFO technology in the Second World War and the theories of the technology being brought into...
Yeah, I think other countries are always a little bit more advanced in a lot of interesting subject matters because, or they're more open to their people. I don't know, because they're crazy people. I have relatives from Russia. They're crazy people, but I don't know, I do feel that everybody will really enjoy it. And the guest you're having is a very well known person too.
He is. And so I'm going to be fascinated, and I really, really implore you guys to come because. He's going to be a matter of many, many movies and documentaries one day, and he's a very, very clever man, and I feel a very good-hearted soul.
Yeah, so. he's very knowledgeable in this topic, that's for sure. You could have gotten anyone better. It's fantastic. Steve, Englishman.
Yes.
English. Hey, Englishman. I just thought about Bobby for a second. You know, remember, he was funny, you guys, wasn't he? Yeah. And I was going, well, maybe I can do it, but no, I can't do Steve. So, Steve, I wanted to say hello to you for a moment because I think you've been kind of quiet. Or
all right.
We mutated you now. You're familiar with remote viewing. Didn't you do a show with remote? Someone did. I thought maybe it wasn't you.
We have had a show on remote viewing at some point, I'm sure, and it was quite a long time ago. I'm very interested. Lynn Buchanan will be an amazing guest because he's got some wonderful stories to tell. And I've read quite a lot about Russia in the Cold War using remote viewing and how the US government decided to do the same because they feared that we were getting behind in that race to win the Cold War. So it's certainly very interesting. There's a great film as well. Well, actually, no, the film wasn't so great, but the book is really good. Men Who Stare at Goats.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's a great book for people to read in advance of the show because they would really understand the subject quite well. And I think it's really a situation that validates the credibility of psychic work because that was a government funded project, and I think there's a lot more going on, but it's just not in the mainstream. We don't know about it, but the Russians particularly have always been very interested in psychic work. And there's a great video clip on YouTube of a lady called Nina Kulagina who was able to move objects telekinetically.
PK. In fact, she's one of my go-to women because that was my thingy my story about PK was like all the place all around. That's how I got into my work. And she was the one that helped me figure out I wasn't a crazy woman. I wasn't a crazy woman because she's fantastic. I mean, she's incredible. I don't know if she's still alive. She was or she is, but... Yeah, they were always a little bit ahead of the edge on us, that's for sure.
they've always been very much interested in that.
Yeah, and then I think the U.S. tried to debunk. Yeah, they have. And so, you know, and actually it's given us some hope. As long as they're into the odd and strange, we just jump right on board. So I don't know what their stake is on the UFO situation, but I'm sure if they... You know, I'm sure aren't extraterrestrials going to be here soon?
I'm going to be bringing in all of those speakers. Soon.
Yeah,
we should get an extraterrestrial speaker.
Well, yeah,
that would be a great show, wouldn't it?
Well, I did a good show on that with the gentleman. He was actually at one of the he's pretty well known. He was at one of the, it was last year, but he was actually at one of the big conventions the night he did the show. I interviewed him and you could hear him, all the background people. It was one of the real credible conventions, you know, for, don't you guys remember? Because he was talking a lot about some of the stuff that was going on. It was last year and it was called UFO something. I don't know. It's on the archives, but it was quite interesting. And that was when the White House had just came out with, you know, out in the public talking about this. It was during, what was it, a year ago, April, I think. I did that show. Anyway, it was quite fascinating in how the government was talking about they were going to, they had kept, you know, when sometimes in the news it'll rear its head, government UFOs. It was like during that time period something came out. I haven't heard about it lately.
There's a great book as well, Maureen, that's just come out. David Wilcock, his book, The Synchronicity Key. I just finished reading that. That was a really interesting book for anybody that's interested in what's really going on in the world. And
oh, really?
Conspiracy theories that aren't real. They shouldn't be described as conspiracy theories. Shouldn't be described as theories, in my opinion, but that's a great book.
There's people who say that every week I'm on this show, you guys do have an extraterrestrial speaker, you know.
We are all extraterrestrials.
If I had a nickel for every time someone said to me, dude, are you from some other planet or something? I could buy myself a pretty good steak dinner.
dude, are you from some other planet?
That's another nickel for the collection, Maureen.
Anyway, I would like to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We appreciate you listening and all those in the chat room. Hello, and thank you for joining us. And that will be it for this evening, and we'll see you next Thursday with remote viewing as our topic with Carmen as the anchor. So thanks again, and have a great night and weekend. Bye.
Good night.
Ciao.
Bye.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, psychicaccess.com.